Welcome to Thinks Out Loud, internet marketing expertise your business needs. I'm Tim Peter.
Well, hello again, everybody, and welcome back to Thinks Out Loud, your source for all the internet marketing expertise your business needs. My name is Tim Peter. Today is Wednesday, February 25th, 2015, and this is episode 112 of Thinks Out Loud. Thank you so much for tuning in once again. I really do appreciate the fact that you join us every week to talk about all the stuff that's going on in terms of e-commerce, digital marketing, mobile, which obviously plays an increasingly large role. And I'm just thrilled. There is so much to talk about from the past week. Just an incredible set of information and stories and data and tools that you can use to prep your business for success here in 2015 and as we go forward. So how about we dive right in? The first thing that I wanted to talk about is I've written a couple posts earlier this week. Monday, I wrote a post called Who Owns Your Customer? And Tuesday, I wrote a post about how the best hotels own the guest as part of our regular Travel Tuesday series. And I really want to drill down on this idea of who owns your customer and how you can own your customer more effectively. But to do that, I want to talk about an experience I've had the last couple days. I've been attending a conference in New York City the last few days, and I go into the city a lot. I actually live outside of New York, but I go into the city all the time. But it is brutally cold here on the East Coast. I think it's brutally cold pretty much everywhere in the U.S. right now. So if you're anywhere in the U.S. and you are warm, you are lucky, because it's really cold here. And because it's been so cold, and my hotel was a little ways away from where the event was, I wanted to take a taxi. Well, of course, getting a taxi at rush hour in New York City is next to impossible. I mean, anybody who's tried to do it can tell you it just doesn't work, right? It's not a real practical thing, particularly on a brutally cold day. Every taxi is taken. And so I used Uber and Lyft to get around the city. And actually, I just found out there's a new service called Get that is only in New York that is very much the same concept. I did not have a chance to use it. But from what I understand, it's very similar to what Uber and Lyft are doing. And I had a couple of really great drivers pick me up and take me to places. I gave them really good ratings in the app, and hopefully they will get more business and more rides from this. But what occurred to me throughout this process was that these really good drivers, one of whom I had a really great conversation with, don't own me as a customer. Obviously, the very fact that I used a couple different services defined that. But if anybody owns the customer in this transaction, it's not the driver. It's either Uber or Lyft. And the reason is, and this is the really key point about everything we're going to talk about today, is because Uber and Lyft own the data. They know where I was. They know where I went. They knew who picked me up. They knew what rating I gave. They knew how much I tipped. They knew the whole piece of it, all of it. They own the data, they own the customer. And that's incredibly important that you own the data to own your customer. It is one of the things that you can do today, no matter what size your business, to compete head to head with some of the biggest companies out there. Because yes, they have an enormous amount of data. Huge amounts of data. And in many cases, they have data science teams working hard to interpret that data and understand what it means and use it to their advantage. What they don't have is your data. only you do. So it's not about big data. It's about your data. The other thing is, you have to remember, lots of people aren't doing this at all. eMarketer has new data, has new research that shows that a third of marketing professionals in both B2B and B2C simply don't know which channel made the biggest impact on their revenues. No idea. Marketing Charts has other data that says fully 45% of CMOs have been unable to show the impact that social media has on their business. And in fact, this is again from Marketing Charts, just 13.2% of respondents overall say they have proven social's impact quantitatively. I love the 0.2, right? It's not 13%, it's 13.2%. I don't know if somehow that makes it somewhat better, right? I don't understand that, right? This is really bad. You're talking fewer than one in six actually have any sense of whether social's working. And yet I work with small businesses all the time where we know maybe not precisely what value social is providing, but we've got a sense for what it's doing because we measure specific things along the way, even with things like customer surveys to get information to inform what's happening. Sometimes those customer surveys are as informal as asking customers, how did you hear about us? And then validating that when we do different tests within different marketing channels. There's even more Marketing Charts data that shows just how prevalent this is. They said that 29% of chief marketing officers used available or requested marketing analytics to measure the effectiveness of their marketing projects. I'm quoting directly from the piece now. Moreover, the reported contribution of marketing analytics is not only still low, but also not improving. On a 7-point scale, where 7 represents very high contribution to performance and 1 no contribution at all, CMOs rated marketing analytics contribution to performance at an average of 3.2, the lowest figure since the question was first asked in August 2012. That's crazy. That's crazy. They're not making use of their own data. You can do that right now. And here's why it's important that you do. The latest ACSI Customer Satisfaction Index was released. And according to the latest data, customer satisfaction is down compared to where it has been. Yet e-commerce is actually a bright spot. And as anybody who has listened to the show for any period of time, as anybody who has listened, has read the blog at timpeter.com/blog for any amount of time knows, mobile and e-commerce go hand in hand. And more to the point, mobile and commerce go hand in hand. That's one of the points I was making in last week's episode where I talked about the mobile commerce myth. Because it's not either or. It's not mobile or e-commerce. It's not e-commerce or in-store. It's mobile and e-commerce. It's mobile commerce altogether. Your customer is informed in their purchase decision process by the data and the tools that they have available all the time. They carry the internet in their pocket. And you're seeing lots and lots of companies like the AgFam folks, Apple, Google, Facebook, Amazon, Microsoft, gaining larger and larger chunks of data around this, around what your customers are doing. One of the reasons why mobile wallets are such a game changer, whether it's Apple Pay or whether it's Google Wallet or others coming into the space, is because they want to know more about you. It will help them understand more about your customer and ideally provide more information to your customer. ideally from their perspective, provide more information to the customer, provide, in Google's case, better ads, in Amazon's case, better services, in Apple's case, get them to drive more purchases of iPhones and, you know, whatever else. It's a huge game changer. There's data from 9 to 5. There's research from 9 to 5 Google, not research, a report from 9 to 5 Google that says Visa is going to track smartphone locations, supposedly to prevent credit card fraud, because they'll know if people have traveled somewhere. They'll be able to track where the smartphone is and say, okay, that person is in the place where their card is. Thus, it's probably not a fraudulent purchase. At the same time, they'll know where their customers are. That's incredibly valuable information about where people are and where they're going and how they can offer additional services or potentially monetize those services differently based on what their customers are doing. I have said before, I wrote a post a few weeks ago about how mobile will disrupt your industry, as well as three ways to protect your business. And one of them is the fact that you have access to data. You have access to information about what your customers are doing, so long as you apply it. Linda Bustos, our good friend Linda Bustos over at Get Elastic, wrote a piece the other day that talked about five obsessions that every CMO must embrace. And number one on the list was to own the customer experience and lifecycle across all channels. This is from her post. The days of physical plus web are over thanks to the smartphone. And the days of blissful ignorance of customer behavior across channels is over thanks to data and analytics. Keep experience siloed at your own peril. I could not agree more. When people are connected with their smartphone, or when they log in via your site, or they log in via your app, you should be able to tie all that together and use that to provide a better service to your customer. Because ultimately, you're going to win if A, you have the right data about your customer, and you use that data to empower your sales channels, whether they are in store, whether they are on the phone, whether they're online, whether they're on mobile, to provide a better customer experience to that customer. So I feel bad for these drivers who drove me around, because in one case, I'd love to ride with that guy again. He was great. But I don't own, he doesn't own me as a customer, because he doesn't own data. You want to make sure that your Uber and not somebody else, not some driver who's being taken for a ride. Now, looking at the clock on the wall, we are out of time for today. I hope you have a spectacular rest of the week ahead of you. And I want to remind you that you can subscribe to the podcast by going to timpeter.com/podcast and clicking on the subscribe link in any of the episodes that you find there. You can also subscribe in iTunes or Stitcher Radio or whatever your favorite podcatcher is. You can just do a search for Tim Peter Thinks, Tim Peter Thinks Out Loud, or plain old Thinks Out Loud. We should show up for any of those. And of course, you can email me with any comments or questions, concerns, anything you want to talk about. Just shoot an email to podcast@timpeter.com. Again, that is podcast@timpeter.com. I do love to hear from you, so please drop me a line anytime you like. With that, I hope you have a great rest of the week. I hope you have a fantastic weekend, and I'll look forward to speaking with you again on Thinks Out Loud next week. Take care, everybody.